know what it's about. Yep, it's on. I'm mashing the wrong buttons. I'm muting when I ought to be talking. Chapter 24 in Genesis. And I was studying through this thing, and I was looking. You really think about this. Abraham is going to send his servant, which in some parts of this chapter could be construed as the Holy Spirit going to get the bride. And then we talk about Rebekah being the bride being brought to Isaac. And we don't mean, since Isaac was supposedly sacrificed chapter back, two chapters back, we haven't seen him since then. So he was dead for 3 days physically or mentally, rose again. And now we see Isaac in this chapter, and we don't see him until actually the bride jumps off her camel to head towards him. So we've got a lot of pictures in here. Not that I like to stick with pictures, but the thing is, there's a lot of things in here you could draw a lot of things out of, especially when the bride gets given gifts and gets given clothing. And we think about ourselves in Revelation, Jesus is going to give the bride white linen, fresh and pure and stuff like that. So there's a lot of things we could pull out of this thing as we go along that I might miss, but if you see one, make a note of it so we'll grab a hold of it on the next go around, because there's a lot of different things in this chapter that we could grasp a hold of that shows us the bride, that shows us that Isaac is sitting, and he steps out into the field, steps out on the cloud, the bride jumps off of a camel, and they're together. And the next thing you see is a wedding. And that's the way it's going to work. We're betrothed to him now, but one day when he calls us up, we're getting married. And that ain't a man-woman type marriage, that's a married to Christ himself marriage. We'll all be alike up there. So, and Abraham was old. Now, if you want to remember, he's about 140 years old here. Because he was, what, 100 years old when Isaac was born? Isaac is now 40 years old, if you have to write the numbers down. So he's 140 years old. So Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Think about this. Everywhere Abraham went, somebody gave him camels and sheep and goats and maidservants and men servants. Everywhere he went, even when it looked like he did wrong, people blessed him and gave him gifts. So everywhere Abraham went, the Lord made sure he was blessed, he was taken care of. And that doesn't, I'm trying to talk prosperity preaching now here, that if you just serve God like you ought to, that all of a sudden God's going to just make sure you got all the camels and the race cars and stuff that you need. But what I'm trying to say is, God blesses his people. And he blesses us in more ways than that. If you're not in the hospital sick, you got blessed today. If you were able to drive here tonight, you were blessed today. Sometimes we forget where we're really blessed at is, if we're not having to spend money to see doctors and this, that, and the other, that money's still in our pockets. We've been blessed. So, I mean, it could easily be that we lost our money to that, plus had to pay our bills. So we know how that works. We know people who just can't get on top of the world, and that's the way it is. That doesn't mean they're not serving God. I'm not trying to say that whatsoever. But Abraham was blessed every which way that God turned him. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of the house that he ruled over, all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Now in that day and time, there was a custom that when a man made a oath or whatever to another man, that they would get close enough to discuss the oath, and the man who was going to be bound by the oath would put his hand under or on top of the other man's thigh, and he would say, I swear. And that would bind it. That was like our handshake, a good firm handshake would be a big, big thing. We probably wouldn't go for that hand under the thigh thing so good, but back in that day, that's the way they did it. But Abraham says to his servant, he says, come and put your hand under my thigh. And if you'll notice, he didn't just run over there and put his hand under his thigh and say, okay, what do you want me to swear to? First of all, he asked him some questions about what am I swearing to, and what are the consequences of what I swear to, and what am I obligated to when I swear to this thing. He didn't just blatantly say, yes, I know I'm your servant, and I know I'm your over your house and everything else, but before I just go say I'm going to do something, I want to make sure what it is that I'm going to go do. He says, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. If you remember, the Canaanites are going to get kicked out of Canaan because they're the most ungodly bunch around at this time. They worship everything. They have all kind of immoralities. They have all kind of things going on. So he says, first of all, here's what I want you to swear to. I want you to go and not let my son marry any girl from Canaan. No girl. Whatever you got to do, you keep him away from them Canaanite girls. He says, make sure you don't bring one of these girls home to my son. Now, Abraham's worried about that because he's old. And right now, he's still in the process of being able to say something about it. But if he passes on, Eleazar would be... So he's getting Eleazar lined up saying, look, I know I'm getting old. I know I could die just who knows when here. But I want you to make sure my son does not marry a Canaanite girl. I don't care which one, none of them. So he says, but thou shalt go to my country and unto my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. You say, wait a minute, wait, Charlie. Wasn't he told to separate himself from those folks? Yeah. They were pretty wicked bands too. They were idolaters and stuff like that. But they weren't as bad as the Canaanites. They didn't quite go into all the other immoral things. They believed in families and groups, but they still had their little statues that they prayed to and stuff like that. They weren't as bad as the Canaanites. But if you go right back to Noah, you got a little Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and the Canaanites came out of the bloodline of that son that looked on Noah and did the bad thing. So that's the son that was cursed. And that's why if you've got the son from the right family, cannot ever go to the daughter of the wrong family. So we go back all the way there. And it says, but if thou shalt not go into my country and unto my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac, in other words, you need to go back to my bloodline. You need to go back to my daddy's brothers and my uncles, my cousins, somewhere in the near vicinity of somebody that's kin to me, somebody who has sort of the same background, some of the same ideology that I have, some of the same stuff going on. And the servant said unto him, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Wait a minute. I'm going to go all the way up there. I'm going to go talk to her father. I'm going to talk to her family. I'm going to see her. And I'm going to tell her what I've come to do. Peradventure, she says, well, wait a minute. I ain't never seen Isaac. I don't even know much about Abraham. I mean, he's been gone for years now. Peradventure, she's not willing to follow me into the land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou comest? And I said, so she won't come. Is it okay if I load him up and I bring him back up there? And Abraham says, no. No. I was called out of that land. I'm going to get to that verse in a minute. I was called out of that land. You shall not take my son back to where I was called out of. So he says, what if the Lord says, Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. In other words, beware. Don't mess things up. God's already working this thing out. God's got things going on. Beware that thou bring him not back up there. God called me out of the Ur of Chaldee. God called me to come out and be separated from those folks. God called me out to make a new nation out of me over here. And I have a promise from God that he's going to do it in Isaac. So don't bring him back up there. That'll just mess him up. Mess up the flow of things, what God's got going on here. He says, don't go back up there. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. Now, if you take him out of this land, He's got to turn around and get all built back up and come back again. But God's already swore this is his land. This is the land where he's going to live. This is the land where he's going to stay. This is the land where the promise is going to take place. You will not take my son back to the oil Chaldees. Just can't do it. It says, and then he says, and check this out. And he said, and he shall send, talking about God, and he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Wait a minute, God's already working. I'm going to tell you what you can't do, and I'm going to tell you why you don't need to do it. First of all, God's already working this thing. God's already messing with somebody's head over there. God's already getting Rebecca ready. God's already getting Bethia ready. God's already getting Rebecca's mama ready. God's already working in their hearts for something to take place. You say, how do you know that? Because that's how God works. God just does stuff like that. He says he's going to send his angel ahead of me. What would he send his angel there to do? Drag them back kicking and screaming? No, to work their hearts, to change their feelings, to play with their minds. He says, and if the woman, this is for the servant's pleasure, not for Abraham already has it worked out. But he says, and if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this oath, this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. In other words, the angel's got it worked out. I got it settled. But if you haven't got it settled, I'm going to give you an out. Just so you don't got to worry all the way up there what's going to happen if it don't happen. If by chance, ain't no by chances, right? If by chance you don't want to come, you are under no obligation to me anymore in this matter. The deal is off. The deal is off. Then, it says, look at here, and the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear on him concerning that matter. In other words, after he'd settled just what he had to go do, after he had settled that if peradventure this woman wouldn't come, well, am I going to lose my head when I come back? Or am I going to lose my benefits when I come back? Or am I going to lose my salary? Am I going to get fired if I don't get her? No, here's what's going to happen. You go get her. The angel's going to prepare a way. And if peradventure by chance she decides she don't want to come, you just come on back. You're clean. Everything's going to be all right. No, we're not going to be mad at each other. It's going to be okay. And so he swore. He said, okay, if that's the deal, I'll do it. I'll do it. And he says, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. So you understand here now, he didn't steal camels like some people might have. Well, he just took all them camels, he didn't ask. He had already been commissioned to do the job. Everything that he was in charge of was all of Abraham's stuff. All the camels in the field, though they weren't actually his camels, they were his to use as necessary for the work of Abraham. They were used for the work of Isaac. Whatever Isaac and Abraham needed, he had the ability and the authority to go use it and do what he had to do. So he went and took him 10 camels. He's going after one girl. But he brings 10 camels. Now, I'm sure he brought a couple of guys with him for guard, protection, whatever. But he probably was saying, she's going to be on one camel coming back. And she's probably got a maid to come back with. And then, of course, we've got to bring some jewels and some gold and some accessories for the girl and then the family members for the party. So he says, it's going to take 10 camels for this job. And the very next morning, he got up really early, took the camels, loaded them up, got the stuff ready. And so he headed to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. He's kind of learned a few things from Abraham. He didn't get up and drag around and say, well, you know, the sun's still too early, the dew's still on the ground. Well, my master's son needs a wife, and she's over there at Nahor's house. Yeah. And I'm going to go get him. Yeah. I'll get her, should I say. And he made the camels to kneel down without the city, a well of water, at the time of the evening, even at the time of the woman go out to water, draw water. Now, I want you to understand, he didn't get there this morning, he didn't get there this afternoon. I know it certainly looks like that little chapter. There's a lot of people that's like in that chapter in Isaiah, he says, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this. And at the end of that chapter, he's thousands of years down the road, finishing it up. Same thing with this verse here. He didn't just jump on his camel at 6:30 this afternoon. He was at Nahor's house. This probably took 5, 6, 7, 10 days or so to get up there. He traveled until he got there, and the camels were probably about thirsty by then. And I don't know about you, but camels drink a lot of water. A lot of water. Well, it just took a quarter or two. They got to get tanked up, especially if they didn't come back. So it says here, and he got there just about the time the ladies, the women, go out to draw water at the well. Now, they're just at the cool of the day, at the last part of the day, when they can get the water, they'll be out there, draw the water, get their clean supplies, get everything together. It says, and he said, this is Eliezer talking to the Lord now. He said, O Lord God of my master Abraham. Now, we understand he knew the God of Abraham. He'd seen that God do things. But he's talking to him. He says, you're my master's God. You're my master's protection. You're my master's shield. You're the one who's going to prosper my master. O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. In other words, if you would make this happen quickly, if you would make this happen easily, first of all, I'll get back to the house of Abraham. I'll be tickled pink that his son has a wife, and it'll go good, and it'll be done quickly. Not that he was in a race, but he just says, you know, Abraham's older now. He's probably sitting there on the edge of his chair saying, when's he coming back? When's he coming back? I hear the wedding bells are ringing. When's he coming back? Or something like that. And he's sitting there anticipating seeing the wife of his son. You reckon God ain't anticipating the day he calls us up and brings us up? I mean, I understand he's not there. Well, I wonder when it's going to happen. He knows when it's going to happen. You know that. But just like the wedding day was set for each one of us when we got married, there were people just sitting there, just couldn't wait for it to take place. He says, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Now, that tells me there wasn't just one girl coming out there. If it had just been one girl or one young woman, and I heard one commentator say she might be 14 years old. I don't know how she was, 14 to 18, I don't know. But it says here that there was the daughters of the men. So if that was a pretty good sized place, there could have been quite a few daughters coming out there, quite a few young ladies coming out there. And every one of them would have been lovely and nice. And you said, I wonder. So if I just sat there myself, I might pick out the wrong one. But he says, okay, God, I need you to do something for me here. I need you to direct this thing. He says, oh, let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Okay, I'm going to say this thing. I'm going to see one of these girls who's working with her hands, who's getting the water diligently, who looks like she's happy in her chores, that's not grudgery to her. And I'm going to say to that young lady, I'm going to say, hey, I'm thirsty. Would you let down that pitcher? You know she's got a gallon to her water up here. Would you let down that pitcher and let me have a drink? And it's one thing, she says, yeah, here, have you a drink. Now give me the pitcher back. But she's supposed to say, yes, take you a drink, and when you get through drinking, let me dump it in the trough for your camels. And after that one's drank, I'm going to run back to the well until all your camels have drank. Now, we're talking about 15, 20 gallons apiece. That's a lot of water getting. And she's going to do this happily. She's going to do this industriously. She's going to do this with pleasure. So he's looking for a woman who's not scared to work. Remember that virtuous woman we talked about back in Proverbs 30? A woman who's willing to be courteous, a woman is willing to be humble, a woman is willing to be polite, industrious at the house. He's got it pegged over. If this woman will say, "Yes, sir, have a drink. And oh, by the way, I'm going to water all your camels too." We're talking about a virtuous woman right there. So he says here, "And let it come to pass that the damsel whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher and pay me that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac." You're not going to find a pile of girls like that. In fact, out of 100, there's probably not but a couple maybe that would even be considered like that. And they're thinking there's a pile of girls there and there's going to be only one that he even thinks that he can even go to and ask her. He's probably listening to the conversations and what they're talking about. And this one's got a good attitude and a sweet attitude and doing her job cheerfully and joyfully. The others maybe, well, they'll go get the water again, you know, they'll get all the babies washed, all this, that, and the other, get the food cooked. But yet, something about her, he said, let it be the one that I ask. And let it be the one that thou, says, that thou hast appointed. Is there something like election there? I didn't say that. Is there something like thou has appointed? You've done sent your angel ahead. You've done got her mind thinking about this thing, whether she knows it or not. You got her family thinking about this thing, whether she knows it. That thou has appointed for thy servant Isaac, not for me, not for Abraham, but for Isaac. Somebody was appointed to be the wife of Isaac. That's a high fiver right there. And it says, "And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." So, if the master is God the Father, and Eliezer is the Holy Spirit, and Rebecca's the wife, she's been drawn, she's been called, and then she's going to come. And she's not kicking and screaming and fighting and this, that, and the other. She is already willing and able. Willing and ready. But we're going to go somewhere and it says, "And it came to pass," that means a little while later, "he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder." So all of a sudden, right here and there, we have a woman comes out who is the absolute family relation that he's talking about. The very one who is born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother. This is as close to kin as you're going to get. I mean, he says, go get somebody from my kindred. Go get somebody from my family. You can't get no closer than that. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. This was a prize. This girl was everything a man could ask for. She was fair. She was untouched. She was perfect. Now, what kind of girl would you want Isaac to have but a fair, unblemished, untouched, perfect girl? And the servant ran to meet her. He didn't just say, "I'm going to watch her for a few minutes." He said, "Look, I think this is getting worked out pretty quick here. I'm going to run up there and meet her." He ran to meet her and he said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water, thy pitcher. But please, can I have a little water? Would you mind me getting a sip out of your pitcher?" I see no reluctancy here. I see no drawback here. This is a total stranger. A man she has I know she's never seen him before, because today's the first day he got to the well. And she said, "Drink, my lord." She undoubtedly thought he was a somebody, the way he was dressed, the way he was clothed, not necessarily lord as in lord, but a prince or something like that. She said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher
upon her hand and gave him to drink. She just, all right, you thirsty? Here, have a drink. Right then and there, she just took it right on down. And when she had done giving him drink, you'd have figured she'd have thrown it back on her shoulder and said, okay, you're through drinking, I'm about my business, right? As soon as she had finished giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels. That should have knocked him off his feet, huh? I'm sitting here, wow. So far, all I've asked for is a glass of water. Now she's going to go draw water for 10 camels. I will draw water for thy camels also, and not just a little drink, not just a trough full for each one, until... Let's see where I'm at. Until they have done drinking. In other words, not just a little water enough to just sort of wet their tongues or whatever. I'm going to keep going to the trough. I'm going to keep going to the well until they quit drinking. Now, I used to water the cows. That ain't no quick 1-2-3 show, because them cows drank some stuff. I know camels do. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher in the trough and ran again until the well and drew water and drew it for all his camels. And the man wondered at her, held his peace, to whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He's sitting here, I can see it happening, but I just can't believe it. I know what I asked, Lord. I know what I said. I said, get this girl, when she comes, I'm going to ask her for a glass of water. And she's not only going to give me a glass of water, she's going to go water all the camels. And he's sitting there, who would have thought it? Who would have thought this girl who's prim and proper and well-dressed is going to go fetch water until them camels is through drinking? Ain't she got nothing to do back at the house? Ain't she got someplace she ought to be, maybe? I don't know. And I said, and it came to pass. That's another that came to pass. You've got to watch it came to pass. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and two bracelets for her hand, and 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? And he says, he's paying her now for what she just did. Well, basically he is, and he's giving her a gift for what she's done, but he's checking her out too, because he hasn't found out who she belongs to yet. So he's sitting here, he says, I'm going to give you these earrings, and I'm going to give you this face jewelry and stuff like that. And I read one place where when it talks about the nose ring and stuff like that, there's a piece of lace that came down over their forehead, and a ring or something sort of fit down over that. So it wasn't necessarily something they drilled a hole through the nose like some people would think too, although there are some Arabians who do that. But mostly this jewelry was hung off of lace or off of clothing or something like that to make them look very beautiful in their attire. It says, and it came to pass that he gave her a golden earring of half a shekel weight and 2 bracelets for her of 10 shekels weight of gold. And he said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? In other words, he's checking out to see how wealthy this house is. He's already seen that this girl is industrious. She's beautiful. But now he's wanting to find out if her family has the right amount of stuff. If you've got enough house that you can feed me and the guys that came with me and my 10 camels, you got everything going on. You not only have good looks, you got money and a place to live too. So he said, where do you lodge at? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. This is the first time he knew exactly who she was. I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which bare unto Nahor. She said, moreover, unto him we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. In other words, not only am I of the right family you came to seek after, which she didn't know that at the time, but I also have a house where we have plenty of straw for your camels to lay in and plenty of crushed feed for them to eat. We've got it all. We can take care of you. I understand you just gave me all kind of gifts, but we're not poor folks. We can handle the company. We have a room prepared for a guest to come to. She said, moreover, unto him we have both straw and provender. Enough. Not maybe, sort of, kind of, but enough. And the man bowed down his head and he worshiped the Lord. And sometimes I'm sitting here, you know, we talk about all the things we do. Things in the old days, they did things a little different than us. I'm not saying that they were wrong and we're right. And sometimes maybe we could probably take a little nudge from them. We might want to bow down a little bit every now and then. But he took time right then and there to pray and give God thanks for what was going on. He said, it ain't all worked out yet. All the details ain't quite finished yet. But I'm thanking you already, God, because you got this under control. You got this going on. I could just step back and watch this happen. He says, the man bowed down his head and he worshipped the Lord. He worshipped. I don't know how long he worshipped, but he gave God thanks. He praised God for what was going on. He said, man, this is looking good. God, you got it going on. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master. He's pointing out, he's just not praying to some of these gods. She might have said, well, he might be praying to one of these idols we got out here in the courtyard or something. No, blessed be the Lord God of my master. Not one of your statues you got over here. Not one of the bushes over here. But the Lord God of my master. I want to make sure you understand who I'm worshiping. Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who have not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth, I being in the way, in other words, the way I was sent by God to do the thing that God has prepared for me to go do, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brother. In other words, I'm in the right way. In other words, by getting on my camel and hitting here for 6, 7, 8, 10 days, not knowing what I was going to do or how I was going to do it, I go to this well and I say a prayer. And I'm still sort of just shooting an arrow in the dark, sort of, kind of. Although Abraham already said the angel's going before me, he's got a handle. And the servant's sitting there saying, wow, I kind of had my reservations, I kind of had my doubts, but it looks like God's got everything going just his way. And I'm in the way. Man, it's all happening, I'm watching it. I can't believe it. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. Now, I'm going to say she ran because, first of all, while she may have had enough hay and she might have had enough straw and she might have had a room big enough, she still had to get the boss man of the house permission for him to actually come into the house. So she had to run ahead and say, look, I've met this guy. Look at his earring. Look at his bracelets and necklaces he just put on me. Let me tell you what's going on with this guy. And he needs a place to stay while she's up at the house telling him all the things that needs to go take place. It says, the damsel ran to told her mother's house these things. And Rebecca had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. So Laban goes out. He says, you remember old Laban, right? Well, you ain't got Laban. He ain't born anyway. He's born here, but we're going to meet him again on down the road here, a little farther on down. But Laban ran out to meet the man. Laban done seen the jewelry. Laban done seen the nose rings and the bracelets and stuff like that. And he said, whoo, this guy's wealthy. Let me go check him out. Let me go see what he's up to. Let me see what he's got on his mind. And he ran out. And Laban ran out to the man who was still at the well. He was just standing there, minding his own business, waiting to see what's going to happen, because he knew somebody had to come fetch him on in. He couldn't just go on her word to the house. So Laban comes, he's fetching him on in, and it came to pass, when he saw the earring and the bracelet upon his sister's hand, now Laban's got a good eye, ain't he? And he noticed that jewelry. He might have been a connoisseur, who knows. When he saw those things on her hand, and when he heard the words of Rebecca, the sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well, and he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord." In other words, he says, "Look, I may not believe everything quite the way you are. Understand, you are blessed of God. You are blessed of the Lord. Undoubtedly, I know you're blessed because, first of all, you were able to lay a nose ring on my sister. You were able to lay some bracelets on my sister. Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without?" In other words, what are you doing out here? Come on in. Bring your camels on in. Bring your men on in. Man, get out of the heat. Get out of the sun. It's supposed to get dark on you. "For I have prepared the house and the room for thy camels." Now, we know Laban probably didn't lift a finger. But being he's part of the household there, he probably told his servants, "Now look, you go over there to the guest house. You get everything cleaned up, picked up, swept up. If there's any bad stuff over there that ain't nobody supposed to see, you get that out of the way. And you make sure that there's fresh straw down for them camels. And you make sure there's plenty of feed in that feed trough. You make sure that everything is okay." Who knows that this man might be generous to us? Who knows? Let's be nice to him. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels. You say, "Wow, he cared a lot about them camels." But that's the only thing going to get you across the desert. If you ride something 6, 7, 8 days, you're going to make sure that when you get to a place you can rest, you're going to make it lay down. You're going to unstrap him. You're going to get all that saddles and furniture off of him. You're going to get him where he can breathe and rub all that sweat off of him and get him where he's can freshen up and get the bugs off of him. He says, and he gave him straw, and he ungirded his camels, and he gave straw and powder unto the camels, and watered and washed his feet. Now, one commentator said, and I believe this, he ain't talking about washing the camel's feet. He washed the servant's feet. So he fed the camels, he took care of the camels, and he washed the feet of the servant. Because in that day it was hot and dusty and dirty, and they wore sandals and their shoes got full of sand, when their boots got full of sand, whatever they were wearing. Anyways, when you got somewhere, you wanted to get all that grit and grime off of you and get comfortable. I know some people that like to get comfortable. I know how that is. So he washed the feet of the men's, and not just the man, but the men's feet that were with him. He made sure that everybody got took care of just in case. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, "I will not eat until I have told mine Aaron." And he said, "Speak on." In other words, I know it's supper time and I'm really starving, and that, man, that smells some kind of good, and it looks real good too, and you got it all laid out there like a smorgasbord of good stuff to eat. But believe me, folks, I need to tell you why I'm here first. I need to tell you the reason I'm here first. We can't just start eating. There's a purpose to what I'm here to do. There's a plan here. So he says, and he said, "I am Abraham's servant." Now, this is the first time he's told them exactly whose servant he is. They knew he had some money. They knew he come from a well-to-do place. But all of a sudden he says, "Look, I am Abraham's servant." Now, they knew Abraham. They at least heard of him at supper on Sunday or something like, or dinner on Sunday. They knew he was Nahor's brother. They knew where he was. And he says, "I am Abraham's servant." That perked up their ears right there. That perked up their eyes right there. He says, "And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly." In other words, look, my master is still alive. He's got a son. He's been blessed with all kind of stuff, maidservants, manservants, camels, sheep, everything you can think of. He is plumb rich back over there. The Lord has blessed him greatly, and he has become great. He not only was great in wealth, but the people respected Abraham. The people treated Abraham as a prophet, as a wise man, as somebody to be admired. He says, "And he is great, and he hath given... and he hath given him flocks." You say a flock, right? No, he said flocks. Flocks. That means he's got a bunch of them over on that hill and a bunch of them over on this hill. He may have the brown ones over here and the black ones over here. I don't know, but he got flocks. Flocks. Bunches of them. And herds. Talking about his cows. He don't just have one herd of cows over here in the valley. He has herds. check it out. Silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. He's got anything you need to do what you've got to go do. He's not lacking. He doesn't need anything. Same as our Father in heaven. He's not lacking. He doesn't need anything. If he were hungry, he would never tell us, because he owns the cattle on the thousand hill and all the earth is his. Why would he speak to us of being hungry? Abraham has it all. Abraham has everything a man could need. And now he's telling this to Laban, Bethuel, and Rebekah's mother. And they're saying, wow, that's pretty good stuff. God's blessed him. That's a great thing. And Sarah, thy master's wife, bare a son unto my master when she was old, because as far as they probably ever heard, she was still barren. Now, of course, we understand that he's 40 years old right now. But I don't know how long it took before the Pony Express got back and forth. But they says, he made sure they understood, Isaac, Sarah bore a son to Abraham when she was old. And unto him hath he given some of his stuff. You didn't read that, did you? He gave him what? All of his stuff. We know there was an Ishmael. And we know that in a few chapters we're going to see a couple other young'uns. But we understand that Isaac got all the stuff. Isaac got all the inheritance. He didn't sort of 50, 40, 60, 30 anybody. It was Isaac. He was the one. He got the stuff. I understand he gave portions to the rest, but Isaac, that was the key player. It says here, and my master, so he's saying here, look, I haven't told you what I came to do yet, but I want you to understand that my master is wealthy, and his son owns all of it. His son is such a good son, he ain't been disinherited, he ain't been kicked out, his son owns everything also. Whatever the father has, the son has. Everything. There's a lot of little stuff in here. You just got to catch it. And it says, and my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. So he says, okay, here's why I came. Isaac is ready to get married. Isaac is of the age he needs to get married. He needs to be betrothed to somebody. And it can't be one of them Canaanite girls. My master has told me, come back to my kindred, come back to my family, and get my son a bride. It says, can't have one of them girls from back of the house. But thou shalt go to my father's house. To my father's house. And to my kindred, and take a wife to my son. In other words, not only am I telling you where you're going to go, God's already got it prefixed. Use the word preordained, predestined, all those good words that nobody likes to hear, predestined, all those things. God has already blessed my trip. He sent me even to his kindred's house. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman won't follow me. We had that little talk back there. What if I come all the way up here and I go straight to where I'm supposed to be, and I talk to the family, and I talk to the girl, and I talk to her brothers and her sisters and her father, and they say, we're not letting her go. We ain't sure about you. Could you imagine a total stranger drives up and says, my master sent me to get her, and they're going to get married in a couple of days, and I'm ready to take her on out of here. And you say, what you say? Yeah. Yeah. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel. He's going over this again, but you know, that's how we learn things. We always hear that, remember, remember, remember. The Lord to whom my master serves will send his angel with thee and prosper the way. You reckon that they couldn't, nobody touched him while he was driving down that road? A whole band of outlaws couldn't have took him out because the angel was right there with them, prospering him as he went. He says, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of the kindred of my father's house. He didn't say maybe so, kind of so. He said, here's what's going, you're going to do. You're going to go up there. That angel's going to go with you. One may even go before you to make things right, but you are totally surrounded by the hand of God. Your job is going to prosper, even though you may have doubt. That's the way we are, son. We doubt a little bit, and God still works things out. Don't go to sleep yet. Anyways, here we go. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper the way, and thou shalt take a wife of my son and the kindred of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this oath. He told him a while ago, if she don't come, you're clear. But here he says, when you take her, then you're clear. He says, did I read that right? And thou shalt be, and says, in thy father's house, then shalt thou be clear from this oath when thou comest to my kindred, and if they, give not thee one, thou shalt be clear of this oath. In other words, here's the deal I had with him. If she doesn't want to go, I pack up my mules, have a nice day. I don't know where I'm going to get a wife, but I'm going to have to look either this side of the street or that side of the street. But if she don't want to come, I got to find somebody from this neighborhood, because that's what I was sent to do. And I'll be clear from this oath. Boy, y'all thought I was going to finish that tonight, didn't you? Looks like there's a lot more to this getting married stuff than I thought there was. So, you dismiss this, please. And we'll start in, what, verse 42 next week?